Welcome to season 2, episode 3 of Social Anxiety Life. And in this episode, we're going to discuss social anxiety and dating. And this episode has actually come in from one of our listeners. So it's going to be a very sort of fruitful and interesting topic.
There might be a few personal stories in there.
I think there'll be some very interesting anecdotes happening. So social anxiety and dating, I think, may bring a lot of themes that we've talked about before into this particular episode. And I think if you're entering into the world of dating, whether it's online or whether it's in person, there's a lot to navigate.
Yeah, a lot of feelings, a lot of challenges, definitely.
I think one of the biggest challenges is even agreeing to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
Because if someone's approached you, or if someone's, I'm just thinking old school now, where, you know, if you're out and someone approaches you when you're out, I know that would make you panic like anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, on the occasions that's happened to me, I've immediately become anxious.
So I'm just sort of picturing the scene now where, you know, you might be out with friends, or, you know, you could be anywhere doing what you're doing, and someone comes to make a conversation with you.
Yeah.
I mean, what sort of thoughts would go through your mind if that happens?
Gosh, I think it would depend, wouldn't it? Because if it was someone that maybe you thought was quite nice, I think you'd probably have different worries and thoughts to someone who you had zero interest in. But I think it's that thing where your overthinking just kicks in, or for me at least, it would just kick in really quickly. If someone were to approach me, I think I'd just immediately get a bit of panic and think, oh my gosh, what do I say to this person? I don't know this person. It's almost that, like, initiating or starting a conversation can be so difficult. What do I talk about with someone that I don't know? How can I make myself sound interesting? I don't want to be boring.
Yeah, and you haven't got any prep time either.
No.
You've got to just go for it.
Yeah.
Or not go for it, as it were. And that would heighten my stress levels
massively
beyond belief, in that, yeah, you've got no time to think or prep or script or however you do these things. And I think it's difficult.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the difference between in person.
Yeah.
And, you know, online dating, as it were. I used to do online dating.
Yeah.
A long time ago. I remember when I moved to London, used to be chat room, internet chat rooms.
Oh, wow.
Are you familiar with internet chat rooms?
Like MSN?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
So it used to be like the chat rooms, and you go in there and you type away, having a conversation, which for me is easier because you've got that barrier, the buffer between you and the other person. I mean, it could be anybody on the sort of the other side. But for me, I found that easier.
Yeah. I found when I tried it, which didn't last very long at all, I definitely found it easier because I suppose, as you said, you almost have that protection of being behind a screen, and you feel a bit more comfortable and confident to speak and to, you know, say what you want to say because you can't see their reaction. But then whenever it got to the point of possibly meeting up in person, immediately no for me. I was always too scared. Even if I'd had a lovely conversation, just the fear would set in. And part of it was maybe a safety thing, but it was also definitely a social anxiety thing.
I agree. I mean, I've done it where I've gone and met the person. Mm. And most of the time, I would always message someone else, a friend, to say where I was going.
Yeah.
Because you need that get out clause. So it might be like a code word.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. So if you needed to get out,
yeah,
I mean, now there's the that initiative, isn't there, in bars and clubs, that the Ask for Angela.
Oh, yeah. Where, that's really clever.
I think that's very good, where you know, if you're in a situation where you do feel uncomfortable, then you can go to the bar and ask for Angela.
Yeah.
And they should know what to do about it. So I suppose, in a way, asking for Angela covers a whole range of things, because it doesn't necessarily mean if you're feeling unsafe. Mm-hmm. It could be like if your anxiety has really taken hold, that's your way out.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, I think if you're meeting up with someone, especially if it's someone you don't know, it's always good to have people and things in place just in case you just feel uncomfortable or it's not going well. But a thought just came to me about speed dating, because
I had exactly the same thought.
Because I've had friends who've done speed dating and they really enjoyed it, because I think the fact that you only sit with someone for 1 or 2 minutes, they felt like there was no pressure. Oh, it's easy, 2 minutes and I move on. To me, I find the thought of that really terrifying, because it's like, right, I've got 2 minutes to make an impression on someone. I've got 2 minutes. What do I talk about for 2 minutes with someone I don't know? Because if I talk about things like my job, would that be too boring? You know, for me, it kind of would massively ignite my social anxiety. But I know people who've done it and have loved it.
I mean, just to clarify how it works, because I've never done it or never seen it or whatever. So am I right in thinking that, you know, you sign up for it, and you're the person that moves around the however many people that are at the event?
Yeah.
So you start off, do you have like a little, you know, little notebook or little cards or something?
Well, I've never done it myself, but from the people who've done it that I know, I think, yeah, you kind of sit down and then you all sort of rotate so that you go to everyone's table. I guess you can make notes if you want to. And then sort of at the end of the night, everyone goes to the bar to drink. And then I think the idea is that if, you know, two people have said they like each other, then they'll let you know, or in some way kind of match you up.
Then I think with liking, there's two elements here. There's liking as in, you know, you see someone and think, yeah, they're good looking. Mm. They're really good looking. But then there's the other side. So when you start talking to them,
yeah,
there's different things happening there potentially, because you could, might be someone that you've, this sounds quite straight to the point, you know, someone that you've dismissed as not being your type.
Yeah.
And actually when you talk to them, you think, oh yeah, they're very interesting to talk to. But, you know, if you have social anxiety and you've gone to something like that's an achievement in itself. If you've decided to go to that, then that's a big step forward.
Oh, massively. Yeah, because it's that thing of putting yourself out of your comfort zone, really like putting yourself out there. And if you're someone with social anxiety, to put yourself in effectively a room full of strangers is a massive step to take. So yeah, I think even just going to an event like that, as you said, would be a massive achievement regardless of the outcome.
But maybe, you know, referring to a contribution we had via Facebook. And I must apologise, because I actually haven't put the person's name on my notes here, but the person will know who it is when I talk about it, in that, you know, they say that having zero expectations of the event means the outcome will be better. And if you have high expectations, you're only going to get rejection.
Yeah.
And rejection fuels the overthinking, the anxiety, the physical symptoms of it, which I think is a really fair point. Because if you go to a speed dating event and there's no matching at all, I mean, part of you would feel a bit annoyed, to say the least. So that if there's one person there that you did feel that you clicked with, then, and they didn't feel the same way, you're going to be catastrophizing about what you did was wrong.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I suppose it's that thing which I think we've talked about before, when you it's the being hyper aware of yourself and looking back on events and thinking, what did I say? Did I come across that? And you sort of overthink all of the things you did and said. And yeah, I suppose if you were in that situation and it didn't work out, I could well imagine, as a person with social anxiety, looking back and thinking about every little thing you said and did and how it came across.
I mean, thinking about that, it's almost, I'm thinking of something that maybe the opposite is what you didn't do.
Yeah.
I can't remember, it must be a couple of months ago now, where we went for lunch.
Yes. Oh, I know this story.
Yeah. We went for lunch and, oh, it was such a lovely lunch. It was lovely food. And I remember I fancied dessert. So
yeah,
I ordered dessert and the dessert came over and the waiter that brought the dessert over had an additional message to go with it. And I can't exactly remember what the message was, but it was something along the lines of, was it compliments of the chef?
Yeah, something along that. I don't think you heard him when he said it. I heard it and you missed it. So then I had to relay the message to you.
Now, when that happened, I thought, my thought about it was, oh, that's a nice thing to do. That's
kind.
Yeah, I thought that's how kind. But your viewpoint is maybe elaborates on that slightly. Well,
I may have then turned round and seen this chef very, very obviously winking at you, which again, I think you missed. But yeah, that was quite forward, really.
And it's when you said that to me, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'd sort of seen the chef because you can see the kitchen when you walked in. And I didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
But then when the dessert came over and these other little messages or these nonverbal cues happened, I sort of didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't feel...
uncomfortable?
It was uncomfortable. Yeah. I didn't feel attraction there.
Yeah.
To this person. And I just saw... paid dessert, we paid anyway. That's what I haven't. I didn't do anything.
No. I just wonder, like, in that situation, just if I imagine if I had been you, I think my initial, I would have panicked a little bit, definitely. And then I think I would have worried and thought, oh my gosh, what if they come over and start talking to me?
Luckily they didn't come over.
No, they didn't. That would have been.
It was unnerving because I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, if they had have come over and spoken, then I don't know, I might have been okay.
Yeah.
Although I might not, I might have just got up and left.
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking, I don't know what to do. But it all brings together the, you know, that idea of what you didn't do.
Yeah.
If the other person had done something, then maybe I would have done
something,
but it was sheer panic and unexpected, unplanned moments where if you're diagnosed or identified as neurodivergent, then it's really hard to pick up on these things because you have your ways of doing things. And then when you have these neurotypical features such as eye contact, which I've talked about before on a previous episode, in that, yeah, I didn't have eye contact with this person, but they obviously did.
Yeah.
They obviously looked over at one point. It might have been a nice fleeting glance, but I didn't know what to do.
No.
But I did, it's almost as like when we left there, it sort of passed, but it's something we've spoken about.
It's come up a few times. Yeah,
since.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing, isn't it, with dating? It's very much, if you're a person with social anxiety, dating can just be a very overwhelming, quite scary type of experience. But I liked that contribution. I loved the fact that he said, maybe it's about having lower expectations. You know, maybe that's a way to manage the anxiety. And also, I guess, counting the little wins, as you said earlier, you know, if you go to a dating event, just the fact that you've gone there is an achievement in itself, you know.
I mean, the person goes on to say that one of their solutions to it is go on more, have more dates, because if you embarrass yourself five times in a week with five different people, then it's exposure. You're coming out of your comfort zone in order to sort of progress yourself further. And I think that if you have a bad experience of dating, then it can sit with you for quite a while.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you have a checklist and you run it over and over again until you got to the point where you've met someone that gets it.
Yeah, completely.
Because I think that's hard to find someone that completely gets the whole social anxiety issue.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I think this has been a very interesting discussion. I'd be interested to see what our listeners think about social anxiety and dating.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd be interested, like, if you had been me at that restaurant, what would you have done? So I'm going to put that on the Spotify page. Yeah. What would you do in that situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, it's definitely been a very interesting discussion, because it brings together a lot of issues that we've talked about before. And as always, we invite feedback.
Yeah.
At socialanxietylife2023@gmail.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
At gmail.com. So we're a bit rusty. On the old email front. And always contact us via the Facebook group, Social Anxiety Life Podcast Group.
Yes. Thank you so much for everyone who continues to listen to the podcast. Any suggestions for future episodes are always welcome.
Speak again soon. Bye.
Bye.